Such an honor and a privilege to be here tonight to be able to present the unadulterated truth. I want to thank HD and the elders of this congregation for inviting me here, and I'm so thankful that God has watched over me as I traveled down from Austin. Such a fine sermon that we just heard about sound doctrine. I'm going to be talking about that it is necessary that we stand against false doctrine and false teachers. Jeremiah in Jeremiah 22 verse 29 said, O earth, 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 hear the word of God. In Jeremiah 23 verse 29, the Lord said, Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? The word of God is able to purify your soul. The word of God is able to cleanse your soul. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Is it nothing to all ye that pass by, is what Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations 1 verse 12. Is it nothing to you and I as we sit here? Is it nothing to all the world out there that passes by, that drives by this building? Is it nothing to them? Our society plays a game called tolerance. Tolerate all the sin you possibly can, and you'll still make it to heaven. Our society says that no one has the liberty to judge what is true or false, and any view of what is true is good as any other view. And what is the result of this? The result of this is religious corruption. This is the result, and we have a phobia that is going on today within the world, a phobia against exposing false doctrine and false teachers. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 5, verse 30 and 31, he says, there's a wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests follow after their example. And my people love to have it so. And he goes on and asks this haunting question. What will you do in the end thereof? What is he talking about? He's saying, what will you do in the judgment? A very haunting question to you and to I. So then every one of us shall give an account to God in the judgment. Hebrews 9 verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men, death, and after this, the judgment, and we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. Religious fiction is nothing more than poisonous propaganda. Religious fiction produces counterfeit religion, resulting in lost souls. What will you do in the judgment? Religious imitations are intended to be passed off as the genuine thing. There's a frightening condition that exists today in the world. The message of God is void. To stand up for Jesus is to stand for the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 6. To stand for Christ is to stand against false doctrine and false teachers. Sectarian attitudes must be condemned, such as anything goes when it comes to religion. After all, we're all going to the same place. Call nothing error. Nothing is to be condemned as false doctrine. False doctrine and those who teach it must be exposed. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove. That word means, but rather expose. Ephesians 5, verse 11. They must be marked, false teachers. They must be marked, and the children of God must avoid them. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. Mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. We are to warn them that are unruly, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. They must be rejected because they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple, Romans 16, verse 18. Titus 3, verse 10, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. They must be rebuked sharply, whose mouths must be stopped, who overthrow whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. So we have to recognize them, Romans 16, verse 17. We have to warn them, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. We're to admonish them, Titus 3, verse 10. And if they don't repent, reject and avoid them, Romans 16, verse 17, and 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Now, what are you going to do about it? Leave it up to the preachers and the elders and everyone that goes out and teaches personal work? This command is for you and I. Everyone sitting in this seat. You're to do your duty to stand up for Jesus Christ, to stand up for Jesus, to stand up against false doctrine and false teachers, to stand up for sound doctrine. We are supposed to do this as the Lord's people. Nowadays, we are called the family of God. I can remember as a child sitting in the pew that we were the army of the Lord. And we were militant about truth. But all of a sudden we become the family of God and we start sitting back and we don't be as militant for the truth as we can. We're not upholding the banner of truth. We're not standing on the mountain of truth. We're dragging the banner of truth and we're not standing up for truth. Well, there's a designer, a false doctrine. A designer designed a convincing message of lies. He is the king of false teachers and the god of this world. He has blinded the minds of them that believe not, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Satan will twist the scriptures in order to design his own doctrine, and he did. When Jesus was delivered into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, Matthew 4, verse 6, he twisted the scripture there to design his own false doctrine. He pulled it out of context. Satan is the founder of religious fiction and the producer of false teachers. His seducing spirits promote his doctrines of demons, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. He speaks from his own resources because he doesn't stand in the truth. He is the father of lies, deceiving and misguiding people, John 8, verse 44, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, Luke 22, verse 31 and 32, Satan which deceiveth the whole world, Revelation 12, verse 9, a murderer from a beginning with a message of death. We must stand up against false teachers. And this false message they deliver, because Satan is out there promoting it. He's out there promoting a false message, and it produces death. If you have your Bibles, open up to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, we realize that this is the Garden of Eden. And we realize what is going to happen here. That Satan is going to approach Eve and deliver a very convincing message of deceit. And if you look there in verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Well, some today say, we are saved by faith only. James 2, verse 24 says that we are not saved by faith only. And then if you look there in verse 5, he says, you're going to have your eyes opened. You can go ahead and eat or touch the tree in the midst of the garden. You're not going to die. You'll have your eyes open. Today, some are saying a miraculous intervention of the Holy Spirit is necessary to enlighten you. And then as we notice there in verse 5, he says, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. People are saying today, you don't need a Savior. You don't need a Savior. You can be the captain of your own destiny. Well, I need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. And we're to stand up for Jesus. He is the captain of my salvation. He is the one that died for me. Hebrews 2 verse 9. Hebrews 2 verse 10. And he is the one that defeated Satan. Hebrews 2 verse 14. And when I am tempted, he is the one that comes to my aid. Hebrews 2 verse 18. No doubt. No doubt will Satan will work through as many people as possible in order to spread the doctrines of demons. His henchmen transformed themselves into the ministers of righteousness. They evolved into false apostles of Christ, deceiving many with Satan's message of false hope. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 13. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14. We need to get the sons of Satan to quit lying about our Christ. They are undermining the very authority of God's word. Matthew 7 verse 5. The booming voice from the cloud said, hear ye him. Matthew 28 verse 18, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 6, we are not to go beyond those things that are written. But yet people still do. And we claim to be God's people. We claim to have the truth. And we need to be out there promoting the truth. So we've talked about the designer. Well, what about the dangers? The dangers of false teachers. False teachers and what they teach are very dangerous. And we need to realize that. Oh, yes, I've heard it many of times. Oh, well, they say such good things. They say a lot of good things. He's such a good preacher, but he can't save a soul. How good is he? If he can't save a soul, he can't even follow the simple plan of salvation to save a soul. And we want to flip it to channel whatever. I don't have a TV. And listen to those false prophets. They're a great threat. A great threat. To the Lord's church. They deceive and corrupt the minds of innocent people. Let no man deceive you by any means. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3. They corrupt the word of God, for we are not as many as what Paul said, talking about the false teachers. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 17. These deceitful workers act like they love the truth. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 13, if we do not love truth, we will die in our sins. We will perish. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 10, we must have a divine romance with God and his truth. We must love truth in order to go to heaven. We must study our Bibles to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We need to cut the word of God straight down the line and let people know that there's still truth and truth still exists and that there are false teachers and false doctrine out there. A couple of co-workers I work with, they realized that I was coming down here to preach and they asked me the topic. After I told them we must stand against false doctrine and false teachers, they wanted to know why I was teaching about that. They didn't know such a thing exists out there in the world. because to them, one church is just as good as another. The only church that is going to save you is the church that Jesus Christ died for. The church that belongs to Him, and you need to be a member of that church, and you may need to be a faithful, obedient member of that church in order to be saved. These false teachers and what they teach are very dangerous. Their methods are very dangerous. Jesus described these dangerous methods as traditions or man-made traditions. Matthew 15, verse 6, "Thus have you made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition," man-made traditions. Then he went on to say in Matthew 15, verse 9, he said, "But in vain, because of the man-made traditions, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." I was talking to one young man about his soul. I gave him books. I revealed to him what the Bible taught. And he came up to me one day and he said, "Randy, I know what you're saying is the truth, but I guess it's just tradition. And I'll just remain a Methodist." He said, "If you want to learn some more, let me know, because I can show you some more things that will save your soul." False doctrine. False teachers. Paul recognized that the methods of the false teachers perverted the gospel of Christ. He said in Galatians 1, verse 7, "There be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." False teachers are crafty. They are crafty. They lie in wait to deceive, and they will beguile us with enticing words. Ephesians 4, verse 14, Colossians 2, verse 4, and verse 8, and verse 18. Their doctrine provides people with a false hope. Not only a false hope, but a false church, a false way of worship, and a false redeemer. Luke 6, verse 46, "And why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Proverbs 24, verse 21, "Meddle not with them that are given to change." Their doctrine will establish within people a false faith. Not only a false faith, but a cheap type of grace and a waterless salvation. Romans 5, verse 1, and Ephesians 2, verse 8. Romans 5, verse 1 says, "We are justified by faith," but the question is, when are we justified by faith? When we obey the gospel. We are saved by grace, no doubt about it, but not by itself. It's a gift from God, our salvation, and we realize that. So we must have grace and we must have faith in order to be saved. Their doctrine will establish within people a false faith, teaching that baptism is not essential for salvation. Acts 2, verse 38 teaches otherwise. 1 Peter 3, verse 21 tells us that baptism doth now save us. But yet we have people saying the sinner's prayer all out there in the world. But not only in the world, it's filtering where? Right within the body of Christ. And tears are coming to the eyes of Christ, the Anointed One. Just say the sinner's prayer. You'll be saved. Go find a church, any old church, and be baptized. False doctrine. Teaching that once saved, you cannot fall away from grace. Galatians 5, 4 tells us that you can fall away from grace. 1 Timothy 1, verse 19 and 20, Paul gives an example to Timothy of these two men that have a shipwrecked faith. teaching that you're not under the law, but God's grace. And we turn to passages such as 1 Corinthians 9, verse 21, that talks about the law of Christ. Galatians 6, verse 2, the law of Christ. So we are under law and under God's grace also. We have false doctrine out there spreading throughout the community, spreading throughout the body of Christ, teaching that the Lord's Supper can be taken whenever. Not the first day of the week anymore. If you're out there in the woods on Saturday night and you want to partake of the Lord's Supper, go ahead. If you want to partake of the Lord's Supper while you're getting married, go ahead. Acts 20, verse 7 means nothing. But to those that stand up for Jesus Christ, those who stand against false doctrine and false teachers, it means everything. Teaching that the Ten Commandments are still binding on us today when we know that they have been nailed to the cross. Colossians 2, verse 14 through 17. Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 4. Galatians 2, verse 21. Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. The designer, the dangers, the defenders. Who are the defenders? We're standing against what? We're defending what? When a person stands against, he defends something very precious. And Solomon said in Proverbs 23, verse 23, he said, buy the truth and sell it not, because it's precious. A person's soul cannot be saved without the truth. No matter how much you want to love him, you can't save him without the truth. Christians stand against the most serious thing in all the world, false doctrine and false teachers. And we act like God is not even on our side when Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Jesus Christ said, I'll be with you always, to the end of the world or to the end of the age. But yet we act like they're not beside our side and not with us as we go out into this battle for the lost souls of men and women. Standing against implies we're standing for someone and something. God has always promoted absolute truth. He said in Psalms 119, verse 104, I hate every false way. There is absolute truth. There is absolute truth. And Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. He let us know that the truth is the word of God in John 17, verse 17. And Paul said, the word of the truth of the gospel, Colossians 1, verse 5. We stand up for Christ and his doctrine because God demands it. Proverbs 25, verse 9. Solomon says, debate thy cause with thy neighbor. When was the last time you talked to your neighbor about Christianity? Be ready always to give an answer. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. That is a command to you and I as Christians, to be ready always to give an answer because of that hope that is in you. And you give that answer with fear and meekness. But first of all, at the first part of that verse, it says what? Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. You've got to have a special place for the Lord in your heart before you'll be ready to give an answer. We are fighting a war for the souls of men. 1 Timothy 1, verse 8, war a good warfare. That means that to make war, to be militant about the truth, to go out and spread the truth. We're to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. We are to earnestly contend for the faith which was once and for all delivered unto the saints. To contend is to fight or to defend the faith. Fight for the faith or defend the faith. To contend strenuously. Philippians 1, verse 17, Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. And that word set means that he was appointed. When was he appointed? When he obeyed the gospel. He was appointed then. He was set for the defense of the gospel. It means that there's a lot of work for us to do as Christians. There's a lot of studying we must do as Christians. And it's fine and dandy that you read your Bible every day, but do you study your Bible every day? There's a difference. There is a difference. Maybe we ought to ask the question, how many have studied our Bibles every day? Maybe that question ought to be answered. Satan is convincing some not to stand up for Jesus and others not to stand against false doctrine and false teachers. He that is not with me is against me. What about Peter's denial in Matthew 26, verse 69 through 75, where he denied his Lord and Savior three times? He wasn't willing to stand up or stand against any false doctrine. What about in Galatians 2, verse 11 through 4, after Jesus Christ died on the cross, he wasn't ready to stand then. Paul had to rebuke him because of his hypocrisy. As the Lord's army, we need to view this as a serious matter because it's a real danger to the future existence of the church. It's a serious matter. All the false teaching out there. You know, people are hunting for something spiritual out there. They're out there hunting. But we're not out there giving it to them. And they'll try to find it in any type of spirituality that they possibly can grab a hold of. We're the army of the Lord. And that's the way the Lord describes us in Ephesians 6, starting verse 10 all the way down to verse 18. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But too many times, there's too many people that have butter knives out there. They don't have the sword drawn and they're not ready to go into battle. They're not ready to defend against false doctrine and false teachers. We should be horrified by those who pretend to speak for God. And why should we be horrified? Because their nature is concealed by hypocrisy, is what Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 28. Souls are influenced by them without really knowing it. That's why we ought to be horrified about it. We ought to be concerned about it. The designer, the dangers, the defender. Last point, no D. Beware of false prophets. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 and look at verse 15. A great sermon that reveals the whole Christian system in three chapters, starting in chapter 5, 6, and 7. The great Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus lets us know in verses 1 through 5 in chapter 7 that we're going to have to make a certain type of judgment. And there's going to be a judgment that is wrong. There's going to be a wrong type of judgment. And he lets us know that those that want to exaggerate things that they have heard, and they want to reveal unto you other people's motives, they become self-righteous, and they're going to be condemned for their self-righteous judgment. But he lets us know that we are to make a judgment when it comes to false teachers and false doctrine. We're supposed to judge righteously, John 7, verse 24, and we're going to have to judge according to the Word of God. And if we don't have enough knowledge about the Word of God, then how are we going to make a proper judgment? Jesus said, "But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things," in Mark 13, verse 23. He's already told us that we need to take a stand. He has already told us that there are false teachers out there. He has already told us that there is false doctrine out there. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets," in Luke 6, verse 26. As we see there in verse 15, we see the disguise, but I want to go to what Jesus sees. Jesus is looking straight into their soul. He's looking straight into their soul, and he said, "Inwardly they are ravening wolves." He knew what was in man, John 2, verse 25. He was the heart searcher, Acts 1, verse 24. So he knew about these false teachers. He knew what was within their soul, that they were no good. And we need to identify false teachers by searching their soul with the Word of God. These false teachers, they say, "Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken," Ezekiel 22, verse 28. Ezekiel 13, verse 3 says, "Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit." They follow their own spirit. They don't follow the Word of God. They want to teach what they want to teach, and not what God exhorts us to teach. Preach the Word. Preach the whole counsel of God. These false teachers are disguised. They're in sheep's clothing, aren't they, in verse 15. So they don't walk around with a sign on them and say, "I'm a false teacher." You've heard it before. You're going to have to measure them according to the Word of God. They're going to slip in through the side door. There may be someone sitting here right tonight that holds to a false doctrine and teaches it. Sometimes we just take it for granted that he's a preacher of the gospel and says he's okay. It's all right. But we ought to know better. We ought to measure him with the Word of God and not take his word, but go home and search the Scriptures and look at them, examine them, investigate the Scriptures and what the preacher has said. Tonight I challenge you to go home and search the Scriptures of what I've said. Go home and search the Scriptures. Don't take my word for it, but take the Word of God. And let it guide your life. False teachers are disguised and everything looks okay on the outside. Jesus said, "For ye are like unto white sepulchres, or white tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead bones and of all uncleanness." Matthew 23, verse 27. Now these Pharisees, they believed that they were the religious elite of the day. And everybody ought to listen to them. But also we are warned that some come from within according to Jesus, according to Paul, and according to Peter, Paul, let the elders in Ephesus know, for I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Acts 20, verse 29 and 30. Go home tonight and read 2 Peter 2, verse 1 through 3, and Jude 4, talking about the ungodly men. What should our attitude be toward these false teachers? We are to try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. 1 John 4, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceives you. Matthew 24, verse 4. We are to try the spirits. We are to put them to the test. We are to reject them after the second admonition, Titus 3, verse 10. And we are to withdraw from them, 1 Timothy 6, verse 5, and not bid them Godspeed, 2 John 10, verse 11. Now, Jesus has just warned us about false teachers in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20. And then he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not taught in thy name? And in thy name cast out demons? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And what is Jesus going to say to them? Because they didn't do the will of the Father. And then I will confess unto them, I never knew you. I didn't know you just because you prophesied in my name, just because you cast out demons in my name, and you done many wonderful works. And you wasn't willing to do the will of the Father. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity or lawlessness. Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. Is it a serious matter? Yes. We need to stand up. And it's necessary for us to stand up for Jesus and stand against false doctrine and false teachers. We extend the Lord's invitation. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He provides us with a plan of salvation. We have heard the word of God, and if you have not put on the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism and washed away your sins tonight, why not tonight? Why not become a Christian tonight? Have a change of mind that results in a change of life, and be added to that one church that our Lord and Savior gave his life for. That is the family of God, and that is the army of the Lord. And maybe we haven't been faithful. Maybe we've fallen from God's grace, and we need to repent and ask God for forgiveness. Do so before it's ever too late. Shall we stand and sing?